You know, the things I'm planning.
I wonder if we could talk wrestling here instead of canaries.
Sure, we can talk about whatever you want to talk about, but don't talk to me about it.
Baby, I'm hot like the prodigal son.
Ready to rumble? Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Wrestling News Pro Podcast, the podcast for WWE fans. Here are your hosts, Michael Huff and Anthony Savino, who aren't the least bit British. They just love the accent enough to pay for this voiceover. Let's get ready to rumble!
What's going on, folks? Welcome to the Wrestling News Pro Podcast. This is the return. We used to have this podcast almost a year ago, and then it went off the beaten path. But now we are back. It's WrestleMania season, and we're going to be coming to you live on YouTube. So be sure to subscribe, hit that like button, hit the alert button. This way you'll be notified. We are also on Twitter at Wrestling News Pro. So just drop the G in wrestling, and you can follow us there. Soon enough, we'll be on Facebook and all the other avenues. But for now, we're just getting started. My name is Michael Hoff. You could follow me on Twitter at the FF Realist. And then there's Anthony Servino. He could be followed the Real NFL Guru. What's going on, man?
You know what? I'm pumped for this. I'm pumped to be on Wrestling News Pro on the podcast. I can't wait because I like wrestling. I love wrestling just as much as I love talking football.
That's it. There you go. Which, by the way.
And what a time of year. What a time of year to talk wrestling. It's WrestleMania season.
Right. All right. And quickly, just in case, if you are a football fan, you can go to the FF Faceoff. That's our other show. It's all about fantasy football and all things football, so be sure to go over there as well. But, yeah, this is the time of year for WrestleMania. So this is our first episode, so it's going to be a little bit all over the place, but we're just going to shoot from the hip here and talk about some of the build-up for WrestleMania and some of these matches. I mean, Anthony, if you want to just jump right into it, we could just talk about Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And your thoughts on the build-up right now, or lack thereof.
You know, this is all about that Johnny Bravo movie, or the documentary. I don't know if you're following that, but it is supposed to debut on Friday on his Instagram or social media account, and it's going to expose, or it should expose, or there's connections to whatever avenue you want to take this. It's going to expose Roman Reigns, could expose Brock Lesnar, there could be Triple H in there. You never know what's going to come out of this, but it doesn't look like it's going to impact their WrestleMania bout. I think that's still going to happen. I think the build-up's going to happen sooner rather than later. They're calling for a face-off on Raw this coming Monday night. But it could impact the WWE's plans long-term. Because if Roman Reigns is going to get hit with some kind of a charge or exposed, they're going to have to suspend him. They already suspended him once, and this could be a long-term one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the rumor was that Braun Strowman didn't have a match for as long as he did, as far as WrestleMania goes, is because they were debating with all of this going on, including him in the match, making it a triple threat. I guess maybe taking the heat off some of the other two, just in case this video is as bad as they are fearing. So there's that. I mean, between that, I'm not sure if fans are completely buying into this buildup. I mean, they're definitely trying to make the situation the best that they can to try and put people in a position to cheer for Roman Reigns. I suppose it's working a little bit. I mean, you know, he did take Vince McMahon to task and ultimately got suspended, you know, storyline, of course. But, you know, I have an interesting take here. I'm not sure where you sit on this, Anthony, but I don't think, given all of that, given everything going on, given the build, given the fact that folks think that Brock Lesnar is definitely leaving once this is over to go to UFC, I don't even think I'd put this match on last. Not sure what your thoughts would be.
Then what are they going to put there?
To me, you have three matches that you could put last. One of them's a long shot. You can either, A, it looks like this Cena-Taker thing is going to happen. You could always put that on last. That's one. Two, you could put on the match that all the internet fanboys were dying to see. It's AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. That's the match that's the match all the fans want to see.
That's what I want to see.
Right.
And actually, I want to see Finn Balor thrown into that. That's my dream match right now with this current roster. Right,
absolutely. And then
New Japan Extracts.
Right. The third and final one, the long shot one. You know, listen, they've been doing this whole thing with women's wrestling, the women's revolution. Why not just put Charlotte Flair and Asuka on last?
I'm just saying.
It could happen.
You cannot close a WrestleMania with that match unless you're guaranteed. There needs to be some kind of pop or wow factor. They cannot just close it. It's WrestleMania. You cannot.
Well, I think it depends on.
You can't. You just can't do it. I don't like it. Mm-mm.
Well, I don't think this is I don't think this is a decision that's set in stone today. In March, I think this is a decision that they ultimately come to a day or two before. They say, all right, this one's going on last. I'm just saying, if the buildup is great for it, let's just talk hypotheticals here. If the buildup is great for this, and if things continue to get worse for Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, say that video comes out and say that it's damning, and say that Brock Lesnar doesn't want to show up to Raw, maybe you do it. I'm just saying. But I think the more likely option to go on last would be my first two options would be Cena and Taker, or
any match on last, and it's a woman, Ronda Rousey has to be in it.
No, that wouldn't be the last match.
Yeah, exactly. The only way that would have worked if they booked her in a triple threat with Asuka, and you put some build, and it was some maybe next year when Ronda Rousey's there, and maybe it was Charlotte or some kind of huge build up, but you cannot do it with this match. You know, the match, if you're going to do Cena Taker, if this is going to be Cena or Taker's last WrestleMania, then you let him walk off with it.
Right.
That's why you put that on. If you're going to turn John Cena heel, put that on last.
They never will, but yeah.
I think they do. I think they're setting us up for it, and I think they've been for the past year. I think John Cena will turn heel.
Jesus. Your lips to God's ears, but I'm not buying that.
I'm waiting for it.
All right. Well, but back to the Ronda Rousey thing quickly. One thing I was going to say to you was that I think the smart thing for WWE to do, have this whole year with Ronda Rousey going undefeated, running through the roster, undefeated, and have her go all the way to WrestleMania, then have it be Ronda Rousey versus Asuka, undefeated streak versus undefeated streak at next year's WrestleMania.
Asuka going 2 years on a 2 year undefeated streak. I like the idea. Yeah. I like the idea. Yeah. But will they do it? Because if you go undefeated, you keep Asuka going, you let Ronda Rousey, that would be epic. But because then you cannot let either one of them hold the title. Not with the way the WWE likes to shift titles around, then neither one of them can be in the title picture, so how do you get around that? Unless you let one keep the title and the other one never get a shot until that WrestleMania. Yeah. And that could be a good build-up. That could be good.
I think the build up in that is that you have Asuka win this year at WrestleMania. You have her win. She holds on to the title. I mean, listen, they have Brock Lesnar hold on to a title for a whole year, and he's barely on the and he's barely on programming.
You can
have Asuka on there all the time.
You know, here's a wild card here. What is Carmella doing with this Money in the Bank briefcase?
Well, one of the rumors I read was that she was one of the things that they were toying with was her cashing in at WrestleMania and then failing. So there's that. I mean, either way, she's going to fail. I mean, Asuka's first loss is not going to come at the hands of Carmella cashing in her Money in the Bank.
This Money in the Bank has become less and less relevant.
Oh, I love it. You don't like it? It's one of my favorite pay-per-views.
It doesn't mean anything anymore because, you know, if a heel wins it, guess what they're going to do? They're going to wait for their opportunity. They're going to get a cheap win.
Yeah.
You know, Damian Sandow, you knew he wasn't going to do anything with it.
I love that guy.
I'm surprised. He's talented. Damian Sandow's talented, but Baron Corbin. why did they drop, you know, let him drop it, and then now he's kind of back in the main event picture?
Well, he had sense. Well, I think he was being punished for a little bit. I think he had some backstage heat. I don't think John Cena was too fond of him, which was why Cena squashed him as fast as he did at SummerSlam. The other thing I read was I had to look back at the story, but he did get himself in some hot water on Twitter, calling out somebody. I'm not sure if they were a military vet or forget. He called out somebody. He was having a debate with somebody on Twitter, and it didn't go well. Didn't put him in a positive light. So I think they kind of punished him for a little bit. Maybe something to the effect of like Triple H when they punished him a little bit for that whole garden thing.
With the click.
Yes. So perhaps that was it.
Corbin has so much upside. I think he's one of the best young, and he's homegrown. Isn't he a WWE grown talent? They didn't get him from New Japan. He's an expert.
Well, no, he was playing football before he joined WWE. He was an offensive lineman for the Arizona Cardinals.
I did not know that.
Yes, true story. Look it up. Offensive lineman for the Arizona Cardinals. Wow. And then his football days were over. You know, he obviously couldn't. He couldn't really crack a starting line. And then he was looking for something to do, and he always wanted to wrestle. And the opportunity came. And yeah, he's been in WWE ever since.
Awesome. I did not know. So. I know. What's his name? Quite a few guys, you know, Goldberg. I know Titus O'Neil had a little stint in the NFL.
Right.
Mojo Rawley. It's only a matter of time. When are we going to see James Laurinaitis? When are we going to see Animal's son? Wouldn't it be, you know, my ideal thing is you see Paul Ellering right now, the old LRD manager. He's back. Why not bring, and I'm saying in the future, 2-3 years down the road, 4 years, whenever Rob Gronkowski retires, what better way you team up like a Mojo, you team up Laurinaitis if he decides to come into the business, because he's retired from the NFL. Gronkowski, why not pitch like Animal introducing like a new LOD? Maybe not calling it LOD, but it's Rob Gronkowski and it's Laurinaitis Jr.
It's something to that effect.
I think that would be awesome.
I just don't know how people think that Rob Gronkowski is going to be able to wrestle when the whole point of him retiring from football is that, you know, he's so beat up. He gets all these injuries. Unless he's a part-time guy, what, you're going to put him on the road 300 days a year? With all the
not a guy like Gronk. I don't think so.
Yeah. So,
He might want to do it.
That's true. He might want to do it. I mean, the moment he actually does call it quits, they're all going to be calling for it. You know, social media is going to, you know.
And I think it would be great. I think he would be an entertaining pro wrestler.
He's got the personality for it, that's for sure. So, but we'll see what happens with that. But you know, you mentioned Finn Balor a little earlier. What do you think about this Intercontinental title match?
I'm up in the air about it. What do you think? I'm a little up in the air.
It seems to me like when you have a guy like Brock Lesnar around, that this means that guys who should be main eventers, like Seth Rollins and Finn Balor, they get put into an Intercontinental title match. That's no disrespect to the Intercontinental title. I love the Intercontinental title. It's one of my favorite belts, but that's what it seems like to me. It seems like they wanted to give Finn Balor something relevant to do. Seth Rollins as well. I think things caved in on Seth Rollins between Dean Ambrose getting hurt and Jason Jordan getting hurt.
It was what, last year, 2 years ago, wasn't it? It was Balor and it was Seth Rollins in the biggest match at SummerSlam for that title.
Yeah.
They were in the main event and now they're knocked down to the Intercontinental Championship. Now, right. Given they're bringing relevancy back, they have Randy Orton. He holds the
U.S.
The U.S. title. You have the Intercontinental Champion. So there's better talent in the title picture on all levels now, which I like. But don't you think, I don't know, their fall from grace, they're getting punished for being injured, maybe? I'm not sure. But this young talent needs to be utilized.
I think you could say that about him. I think Vince, there was those reports that Vince didn't see him as being a real star, as being over with the fans. So I think that might be why he's here. But I just think with Seth, I think it's just a matter of circumstance and the fact that and the fact that Dean Ambrose got hurt, Jason Jordan got hurt. I think there was a storyline there that was brewing. And that's what I think ultimately happened there. So, I mean, but either way, I love The Miz, though. I love The Miz, and he is the greatest. I'll say it. He's the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. Right? Right? What you got?
I love The Miz. I think he's one of the best heels of all time. And yes, I will put him up there with Intercontinental Champions, but is he better than Rude? Rick Rude?
As far as Intercontinental Champion, yes.
Yeah. I mean, yep. Look at the line of superstars.
Big names. Bret Hart, Mr. Perfect, Macho Man, Honky Tonk Man.
See, here's the thing. When you're talking about greatest Intercontinental Champion, I can't say Bret Hart because he went on to be a great world champion. So I don't want to taint that if you go on. Like, I want to keep Intercontinental Champion, greatest of guys who really just battled for that belt their whole career. And that is a guy like The Miz. And Rick Rude never got into that world champion aside from a couple of matches with The Ultimate Warrior. I mean,
yeah,
I guess you can sell me enough that it is The Miz who's number one. I think I can be sold on that.
And that's to me, that's what makes this match relevant, is that you have Seth Rollins, you have Finn Balor, who you feel like ought to be in the title picture, but they're not. They're in the Intercontinental title picture. And then you have, arguably, I mean, the greatest Intercontinental champion of all time. So I think it's a good match, personally. I mean, we'll make predictions once we get closer to the event. We'll have a little prediction show. But yeah, that'll definitely be an interesting one. And then, I mean, I guess if you want to, you mentioned Ronda Rousey a little bit earlier. What do you think about this whole Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey?
I'm a big Triple H fan. I love the match. Just because I'm going to see the game and somewhat of a big match. I'm interested to see how Ronda Rousey translates into the ring. That's right. What I'm really interested in. Is Steph the right opponent? Is this the right, you know, maybe because you have three veterans, because Steph can hold her own for the most part. And you have Triple H and Angle, they're Hall of Fame, they're all-time greats, and they're going to carry this match, I think. Just in case Ronda gets a little, you know, if she comes out cold or maybe she's a little nervous in her first match, I understand she's one of the greatest UFC fighters of all time, but this is a new... Right. You know, this is a new arena for her.
Yeah, this is a completely different animal. Yeah.
I'm not a big Kurt Angle guy. That's
normal. That's terrible.
I'm not a big Kurt Angle guy.
Why not?
You know, really?
Yeah, really, why not?
I think he's overrated.
Oh, boy.
He's overrated.
All right. Well, so there's that.
Triple H should squash him.
Now, is this more because he's wrestling Triple H, or is this something that you firmly believe in?
In general, I was never a Kurt Angle fan. I thought the whole angle was corny.
Right.
From day one. I was never a Kurt Angle fan.
All right, well.
He took Ken Shamrock's ankle lock. That was Shamrock's.
Okay, well, there you go. Well, one thing's clear on this first episode is that we won't shy away from our opinions. So there you go. So Kurt Angle is apparently overrated. I mean, I would agree to disagree on that.
Really?
I wouldn't say. Yeah, I like Kurt Angle. Phenomenal in the ring.
In that era, there's so many. I mean, I feel like there's so many better wrestlers from that era that overshadow him.
No. I mean, maybe overshadow him because of personality, sure. Which is what you were alluding to as far as the gimmick, but in ring work, he's one of the best to do it.
Yeah, okay, in ring work, but he's not over with me.
Okay, well,
he's definitely over with me.
Yeah, my only concern, I don't have a lot of concerns about this match in general. It makes sense it makes sense for the tag team match to be Ronda's first match, for kind of what you were saying, the two Hall of Famers can kind of lead the way. My concern is post-WrestleMania, when we've already seen her wrestle. Because, all right, The fans are jazzed because they want to see her wrestle for the first time. We're going to see that. Now she's got to come out on Raw the night at the WrestleMania, and she's got to just start being regular WWE superstar Ronda Rousey. That's what I'm curious to see. And I'm wondering, if people have said it from the moment there were rumors that she was going to show up, they mentioned Paul Heyman.
Yes, I was just going to say that.
Do you put Paul Heyman with her? Because one thing about Ronda, she looks like she doesn't really know what to do once she's got a microphone in her hand.
Yes.
You know, she knows how to fight. She knows how to give a mean stare. That's for sure.
I wish they would line Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman, and Ronda Rousey. I think that's where you go there. I think you have to line them. Why not make another Heenan family with Paul Heyman? Why not go full blown onto that angle? I would love that.
I wish they would. I wish they would. But yeah, so, well, but I also think that the writing's on the wall for Brock is that he's going to leave and he's not going to come back for a while.
You don't think this is a work?
Well, I think he wants to go back to UFC. Some of this might be, I think this is like a blend.
He have to prove to go into the U.S.? Why?
I just think he wants to go back.
At his age, I think it's a bad move.
I think
Mike Tyson at the end. Mike Tyson got his ass kicked at the end.
Well, maybe Brock needs to get his ass kicked. You know, to me, I think this is a mesh of, them turning a bad situation into a work. I think this is Vince McMahon going, this is what I have in front of me. This is how we're going to handle it. We're going to try and work this into our favor. That's what I think this is. So I think it's a mesh of both. I think Brock does want to go to UFC. That could be disastrous. If you remember WrestleMania 20, when everybody knew Brock was leaving, and what, they had that Brock versus Goldberg match? Yeah. That was a bad scene. And that's why I was saying to start the show, you don't want that as your last match at WrestleMania.
No.
You don't want that as your send-off. You don't want that. That's why would be an interesting poll to put up. Maybe we should put that up on our Twitter account as to which match should go on last at WrestleMania. But yeah, you don't want that much, I could tell you, on the grandest stage of them all. So, well, take that for what it's worth. But I mean, lastly, and before we close, I guess we'll mention the WWE Championship match, not the Universal Title match, the true WWE Championship match. That's AJ Styles against Shinsuke Nakamura, the match everybody wants to see. This was the obvious match from the moment Nakamura won the Rumble. No one ever thought that Styles was going to lose at Fastlane. So here we are. I mean, what are your thoughts on this match? I mean, obviously, we can't be expecting a great mic buildup towards the show. I mean, the match itself, the match will sell itself once they're in the ring.
I want to see a clean match. I want to see two of the best in the world have a clean match. But will we get it? Because I love this. This is what I want to see. I wish Finn Balor was involved.
Yep.
Is this a triple threat situation? There's been rumors, and I know they get squashed all the time. Is this a situation where we see Kenny Omega?
Huh.
Is this a situation where if there's going to be a run-in, that's the only run-in I want to see?
Right. Yeah. I think they would.
Can we see a Young Bucks ever?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot. There's a lot they can do here, but ideally, if you cannot get Omega, you have this go 30 minutes of Nakamura and AJ Styles, New Japan style wrestling. That's what people want to see. This is what you give them. Here's your opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they do a run in like that. I mean, I would love it. I would love it. The problem is you can't even problem with that. If you use Omega is going to be on Raw. I would imagine, right? You're just going to elevate him right to Raw. You wouldn't be able to
go on because I have a big problem, and this is why I have a problem. But you go ahead.
You wouldn't be able to have him on the Raw after WrestleMania then, because he would get involved in the SmackDown title match. He's got to be on SmackDown. He's got to be on SmackDown to answer to AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. Yes,
but why not? Why? See, the WWE, they do this, and this is why I hate the brand split. They do this brand split every few years, and it's almost like the same hamster wheel where it goes around, and then it starts getting... SmackDown's the B brand. They do a brand split to get more attention. They want to make SmackDown an A brand. You need to give them A superstars. If you keep giving Raw all the best talent, SmackDown's always going to be the redheaded stepchild. If you want SmackDown to compete with Raw, you bring in Kenny Omega. You have him run in and you have him stay on SmackDown. You want to make it even more nutritious, or I don't know if that's the right word, attractive.
Right.
You know, all these New Japan guys, all these indie guys, you bring them on SmackDown and then you have them go invade Raw. And you align Shane with the Authority. You align all the McMahons and Triple H and NXT and all your organic wrestling WWE grown guys. You put them on Raw. You bring all you keep Daniel Bryan, and you take all of your indie and all of your New Japan guys. You put them on SmackDown. You're gonna recreate the WCW WWE thing from the Monday Night Raws wars. That's what you're gonna recreate in a situation like that. That's the only way this brand split works. Otherwise, John Cena's a free agent. I'm going to go where I want to go. Okay, who cares?
Right.
What is that doing?
Who cares is right about John Cena.
You know, they tried having the Nexus take over. Remember with the whole Nexus thing? That wasn't... You can't buy into that. I can buy into splitting Raw and SmackDown up with New Japan guys and all the indie guys versus WWE guys. I'll buy into that. Because then we're a little bit more on an even playing field.
Yeah. Well, I think the luxury you would have in that now is that people see these guys. So they know what they're all about. They know their history. They're on the internet. You know, when that Nexus thing happened, just didn't know who those guys were. There was no excitement. I mean, there was excitement, but there wasn't excitement as to, oh, my God, it's, you know, oh, my God, it's David Otunga. Like, you know, there was... You know, if Adam Cole pops up on some, if Adam Cole pops in some kind of invasion, people are going to lose their minds. You know, so I think that would work big time.
Oh yeah,
that would work big time. Now, I actually lastly in closing, because you mentioned him, and we haven't even gotten to him yet. Your boy John Cena challenging the Undertaker on Raw. Your thoughts?
They should have done it, and here's how I would have redone it. I would have, you know, because John Cena at Fastlane, he could have broken Flair's record. What better way than to, you know, you have, I would have had John Cena somehow either call out The Undertaker or actually have The Undertaker running on Cena. Fastlane, you have The Undertaker, old school, come up through the ring. And right as John Cena is about to break this record and punch his ticket to WrestleMania, Undertaker takes it all away. And that's how you do that match.
Right.
That would have made it meaningful. Because right now, it's The Undertaker and John Cena in another unmeaningful match. No build-up, no nothing. I'm just going to call you out. We're going to go have your usual Undertaker match. At least if Cena was about to break a record and get his ticket to WrestleMania and The Undertaker did a run in there, you had a reason to have a match.
Right. Well, the one way that they can elevate this really quick is you have shades of Shawn Michaels and Undertaker. You have Undertaker come on TV and basically they end up making this a career versus career match. That's the way to jazz this up. And then that is your easy pass to making that the last match of WrestleMania. Make that a career versus career match. This way, you know what? This also works for WWE because you know what happens? Let's just say Undertaker loses. Now you know his career is over because it was career versus career. It's over now. So don't ask us next year. Where is he? And not
who,
going back.
And who better to bury him than John Cena? If John, right. If the Undertaker's actually going to lose. Because there's no way you're going to... It's not going to sit well with me if the Undertaker didn't come back after Roman Reigns... Right, last year was that Roman last year? Yeah. Roman Reigns, it wasn't good. That doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah, well,
who... because Roman Reigns isn't there. He's not there yet for me. He's not John Cena. He's not John Cena caliber. There's only a few people who can actually put down the Undertaker, and one of them isn't Roman Reigns. You know, Triple H can do it. I believe Brock Lesnar can do it.
Right.
John Cena can do it.
Yeah, John Cena is very good at burying people.
So is The Undertaker.
That's true. It's true. Yeah, but the whole thing about that promo, by the way, which I, by the way, backtracking, I'm crossing my fingers they make this a career versus career match just because I think it makes it meaningful. It's not like how you were saying. It's like, oh, I'm calling you out. You meet me in New Orleans, and we're gonna wrestle for 15 minutes. So, but yeah, but, you know, they're putting all this work into the Roman Reigns build up here with Brock Lesnar not being there, really trying to sell the whole thing with Roman being suspended because he called out the boss and went back to gorilla position and, you know, went to go have a word with him. Why does John Cena have to mock Roman Reigns twice during his promo? Don't you think that by him doing that, he's taking a little bit away from what they're working so hard to try and build up, to try and not have it be a complete and utter disaster? Don't you think that messes it up? Because John Cena has to be that guy. He has to be cool. He has to be the one to make sure that he takes a shot. I love how he called The Undertaker an egomaniac, of all people. Of all people.
That's
really?
Because they're turning John Cena.
I pray to God, Jesus. That's the only way I like him. That's the only way I liked Hulk Hogan was when he went NWO. And it's the only way I like Johnson. I'll tell you right now, if he went heel, I would buy a shirt the next day.
Yeah, see,
wear the goddamn armband.
Listen, I'm like you. It took me a long time to really like John Cena, but it's almost like it's like, you know, let me throw a little football in. It's almost like Tom Brady.
Oh boy.
I always respected Tom Brady, but I hated him. But, like, you know, in the past 5 or 6 years, it's like, how do you hate a guy like that? A guy who just comes out and wins. A guy, and it's John Cena. You know, during that John Cena promo the other night, I had goosebumps. Because that's how electric John Cena is. That's what he can do. And there's not many people who can do that. So that's why John Cena is great. And that's why I say The Miz is great. Because at what he does, I don't know if anybody there will never be another Miz.
Right,
The Miz is like the ultimate villain.
Yes,
the ultimate. You know, Randy Orton. Anytime they try to turn Randy Orton face, you don't want to see face Randy Orton. You want to see Randy Orton screwing somebody over.
Yep. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, all the ultimate heels.
I'll say this: John Cena outside the ring, love him. Great guy. Wonderful person. Inside the ring,
really?
I can't stand this guy. Outside the ring, all the charitable work he does, all the Make-A-Wish stuff.
What
nice.
About him
great.
Having Nikki Bella sign a contract to live with him? Come on, man.
The ballsy move. The ballsy move, but it worked out, didn't it?
Yeah, but it's like, that's a little, sign a 50-page contract, you're my fiat, to live in my house, that's a little.
All right, fine. So we'll do the reverse. I like him outside the ring. And you have issues with him outside the ring. Inside the ring, I think he's a piece
of trash.
I don't
know if I have issues with it. I think it's smart.
Yeah.
I think it's smart. I don't know if many people out there would say he's a good person for doing that.
Well, not for that. I was talking about the Make-A-Wish stuff.
Yeah,
but,
he's
great
for that, but hey.
So, you know. There you go. But all right. So, that's it. That's it for today, right? We'll wrap it up with that. That's just a little introduction.
Yeah.
So WrestleMania build up. Now listen, when we come to you, we're not just going to come to you with what's going on today. We're going to do some. We're going to do some shows talking about old school wrestling too, right, Anthony?
Oh, I can't wait for that.
That's
it. Talking old school wrestling.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk a little bit about Bret Hart.
The worst. He was the worst.
There you go. There's a preview.
How did you hate Hulk Hogan? and like Bret Hart. Where, like, how does that even work?
Because the difference is Hulk Hogan was a Dudley Do-Right, goody two-shoes, and Bret Hart was a good guy, but he was like a dick good guy. So it worked.
I just don't
know. Love it. Yeah.
Bret Hart.
All right. No. Well, there you go. So this is Michael Hoff.
Bret Hart's another one's overrated. Oh, I want to leave it this. Bret Hart was overrated, too.
That's a discussion. We could do a whole show on that. Okay.
Bret Hart was overrated.
Overrated?
Yeah.
How do you figure?
He was boring. He was very boring as a champion.
Are you referring to character? Okay, so boring as a champion?
Mm-hmm. He was just a boring character. Bret the Hitman Hart. I don't know.
He's one of those fighting as champions.
He doesn't do it for me. Never did.
No?
Nope. I always wanted the King to win those midget matches against the Hearts. So what was that? It was the King and those midgets? Or remember the Survivor Series? No?
Very well.
What?
Oh. What's that? I knew you jumped out.
Those midget matches? It was the King or the Kiss My Foot match at the Survivor Series? Or the King and the Little Kings?
Yeah.
Was that against Doink and the Little Doinks? But I know Bret Hart had a match against the King at the Survivor Series. It was the Hart family. I remember Stu Hart and Martha Hart. The parents were sitting outside the ring.
Right.
I always wanted Bret Hart to lose. I always wanted him to lose.
Yeah.
I wanted Owen Hart to win. When I went to WrestleMania 10, I wanted Owen Hart. Couldn't stand Bret.
Damn. Spitting fire. All right.
To this day, I don't like Bret Hart. To this day.
I can see that. I can see that. That's evident. All right. There you go. That's what happens when you bring up Bret Hart. You're trying to wrap up the show. It turns into another 2.5-minute tirade about Bret Hart. That's great. We'll do a whole show about Bret Hart. Absolutely.
That whole era. We should do a show about that whole era.
All right. We will. So there you go. Something to look forward to. So, again, I'm Michael Ha. Follow me on Twitter, @TheFFRealist. That's Anthony Servino. Follow me at The Real NFL Guru. Also, follow the show at Wrestling News Pro. So just drop that G in wrestling. Wrestling News Pro. Thanks, folks. Have a good one. Cheers.
All right. Speakeasy.